Welcome to Sunday School. Who's got a song? Well, actually, you know what? It's early. We got to get woke up. I get everybody stand up, please. We're going to sing Wide, Wide is the Ocean, and I want everybody to do the actions. I know it's not... Oops. I know it's not in the book, but I think we all know it. Wide, wide is the ocean, high as the heavens above. Deep as the deepest sea, His wide is love. I was so unworthy, still am a child of His care. For His word teaches me that His love reaches me. Okay, now that we're all woke up, who's got a song they'd like to sing? Not all at once. What do you want, Ed? What's your number? 41. You know, this is Ed's favorite song. We sing this pretty much every Sunday in Pine Grove. Okay. See if I can start this.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children say, children whose sins are all forgiven will have the anthem spring singing, glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining robes of spotless white, each one will be arrayed, dwelling in everlasting light and joys and ever fade, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. What brings them to
that sounded very good. Who's got another one they'd like to sing? First option on the first row, but if I don't get anybody, Jim Hayhoe said he wanted to give something out today. So if I don't see anybody else, I'm going to have to... There he is. 23? 43. One door and only one. Who can tell me what this one door is referring to? One door and only one. What's it talking about when it says one door and only one? Ed, what is it? The Lord Jesus is knocking on your door. And also, there's only one door by which we can go to heaven. The Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross for the judgment for our sins. And that's the only way that we can go to heaven, to be with Him, is through that one door of the Lord Jesus, through His blood. Remember the story in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were in Egypt and they had to kill that lamb and they had to put the blood around the door so that they were protected when the destroying angel came with judgment on Egypt. And they were protected by that blood. And today, the Lord Jesus has shed His blood And we have to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus to go to heaven. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross. And He says, you have to take that blood and apply it. He bore the punishment for your sins. But it doesn't do you any good unless you accept the blood of Jesus Christ to wash your sins away. Okay, let's sing number 43.
One door and only one, and yet it's time for two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet it's time for two. Are you on the inside, on which side are you?
Very nice. Who's got another one? Number 40. There's a favorite. Okay. Jesus loves me, this I know. Remember, it's important to realize, each one of us, that Jesus loves me individually. When He says Jesus loves me, He's talking to me. He's not talking to the person next to me. The Lord's talking to them too, but He's talking to each one of us individually. Yes, Jesus loves me. And it's fine to realize that Jesus loves the whole world and that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for the sins of the whole world. But we need to individually realize that Jesus loves us personally. And we need to personally come to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to wash our sins away. So when we sing this song, I do this in Pine Grove and I do this in Hamilton. I won't make you stand up this time, but when we sing the chorus, yes, Jesus loves, and I want us to not sing me, point to yourself, because it's important that we realize that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me personally. So only in the chorus, the four times that we sing the word me, we won't sing me, we'll all point to ourselves, okay? Only in the chorus.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for love I hold, tells me so. Let no one steer Him beyond, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
do pretty good. A couple of mistakes, but usually I screw up at least once. So, okay, I think we'll sing maybe one more, and then we'll have a story from the Bible, and if we have time at the end, we'll sing a few more. Okay, you, the girl in the pink. 44. Into a tent. I like this one. I think I'm going to ask Mr. Prost to start this one, though.
Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
Okay, before we have our Bible story, we'll ask for the Lord's help. Our God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the privilege to be here on the Lord's Day morning at the Sunday school to sing songs about our Savior and the love that He has for us and the work that He did on Calvary's cross, the shedding of His blood for our sins. Father, we pray that if there's any boy or girl or older one here today that has not yet come to know the Savior personally, if there's anyone here that does not yet know that Jesus loves me personally, that they may come to the Savior right now and know that peace be on their way to heaven. We commit the meeting to Thee. Ask for Thy guidance and help. We pray this in the precious and worthy name of our loving Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I wanted to talk about a story that was mentioned yesterday a couple of times or more in the reading meeting. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Now, there's probably a few here that have heard me talk about this story before, but this is the story of Abraham and Isaac. It's a very beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus going to the cross. So I think what we'll do, we're not going to read the story. I've got an assistant here that's going to help me. And, you know, when I was a kid, I always found that if somebody had something to see and something to do, it helped me understand a lot more. So I think we probably all have heard the story before. So we're sort of going to have some actions, act the story out a little bit, and then talk about it, okay? So in the 22nd of Genesis, it says God tempted Abraham. And so Abraham's going about his business. And God says, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. And God says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, that you love. That son that I promised you would be that I would bless. And that son that I promised you I'd make a great nation of. And I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to take him to a place that I'm going to tell you about, and I want you to sacrifice him there to me. I want you to kill him. Abraham says, okay. You think about that. Abraham had one son that he loved. We know he had another son, Ishmael, but all the promises of God were to Isaac, and through Isaac. And God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac. So I've got Isaac here. Come on up, Isaac. He says, I want you to take your son, and I'm going to tell you where to take him, and I want you to kill him. And I want you to sacrifice to me, your son. Abraham believed God. He says, okay. You know, this is not my son. This is Craig's son. So if I had to sacrifice, it might be a little easier. Not really, but... What do you think, Isaac? But you know, my wife's pregnant. I'm sort of hoping she has a boy. I think it'd be awfully difficult. Even though I've never seen that child yet, I think it'd be awfully difficult if God asked me to take that child and sacrifice him. But Abraham believed God, and he says, okay. So it says, Abraham took two of his young men, two of his servants, and he saddled the donkey, and he went. He prepared the wood. So, Isaac, we've got some wood. You know, they didn't have matches in those days. I think they had to carry coals. So we've got a bucket, and we'll pretend there's some fire in here to light our sacrifice with. Some rope, because we don't want Isaac to get away when he's on the altar. Got a knife. It's well suited for butter, but we'll pretend that's sharp. And we've got some wood. I'll get rid of the Home Depot bag, because I'm not sure that Abraham had a Home Depot in his town. Isaac, I think I'd like you to carry the wood. Just in case there's not enough, we got a couple of extra pieces. We'll put the fire in the bucket. And off we go. And we'll pretend we've got here a donkey and a couple of extra servants with us. And Abraham and Isaac, they go 3 days' journey. And after 3 days' journey, you know, I'm sure they stopped and set camp every night. The 3 days' journey, Abraham looks up and he sees the place that God had told him of. It doesn't tell us before that where it was. But he, on that third day, he looks up and there's the place. And he says to the two young men that are with him, he says, the servants, he says, you stay here with the donkey. And Isaac and I are going to go yonder and worship. And we will come again to you. So the two young men stay there, and Isaac and his father go off. And they get walking along, and Isaac's carrying the wood, and Abraham's got the knife, the fire. And Isaac says to Abraham, what's he say?
My father. My father, behold the
wood,
fire.
And the wood.
In the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
You imagine Abraham's heart. And Isaac says to him, and they keep walking, And Abraham says to him, "My son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering." And they went, two of them together. Can you imagine Abraham's heart when Isaac says that to him? He says, "Dad, I've got the wood. He says, you've got the fire. Where's the lamb? We're going to sacrifice to God. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham says to him, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for burnt offering." You know, Abraham had faith that whatever God had in mind to happen, that the promises that God had made to Abraham were through Isaac, and God would take care of it. And Abraham didn't know what was going to happen, but he trusted that God, if he had to kill his son, that God had the power to raise him from the dead. And so they go, the two of them, and they get to the Mount Moriah. You know, I grew up very close to Mount Moriah. Not the same mount, but it was called Mount Moriah. And he builds an altar. And poor Isaac's got to hold on to the wood for a minute. They get to Mount Moriah. And Abraham builds an altar. And he says, "Okay, son, now we're going to lay the wood on the altar. We're going to prepare. We'll lay the fire. We'll pretend that's well laid out. And hopefully your mother doesn't get upset with me when I get you to sit on this wood." He pulls out a rope. Says, "We can't have Isaac getting cold feet." And he ties him up. We don't want to tie this too tight, Ed. Here's Isaac. He ties him up. And he picks him up. And he puts him on the altar. I'll go right on there. Hope there's no splinters. He's got the fire. You know, it's burning away nicely in the bucket. And Isaac's on the altar, and Abraham pulls the knife out. And Isaac's got to be pretty worried by now. But he trusts his father, and his father trusts the Lord. And Abraham raises that knife up over his head. And he's going to kill his son, because that's what God told him to do. And he's got that knife over his head, and it says the angel of the Lord called unto him, "Abraham! Hold it! That's enough. I know that you trust me." And this part maybe we'll read. Where did I set my Bible? There it is. "The angel of the Lord called on them out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The Lord says to Abraham, You passed the test. I can see that you trust me. So I don't want you to kill your son. So Abraham looks around behind him. And there in the thicket behind him, he sees a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. So he takes Isaac off. And I think Isaac said, "Phew, that was close." And he unties him. And he goes over to the thicket. Ed, do you want to play two parts? You want to come over and be the ram too? Over here is a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And maybe he's, you know, the ram on the mountains, power in those horns. That's what they use to defend themselves. And here's this ram caught by his strength, his horns, in a thicket. So Abraham goes over to the thicket and he grabs this ram, maybe gets him by the shoulders, and he yanks him out of the thicket. And he brings him over and he puts him on the altar. Good job. He takes the knife and he cuts his throat. The ram is dead on the altar, and he sacrifices the ram, takes his fire and lights the wood. We won't burn yet. Mr. Ram. And he sacrifices that ram to God. There was the substitute for Isaac. Okay, you can sit there and burn for a few minutes, Ram. It says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." You know, we have a couple of things in this story. Okay, Ed, you can sit down now. Thanks for your help. We'll leave the altar there. The Lord Jesus went to the cross. Think of it in Isaiah. It says, God the Father speaking, asking, who will go? Who will go and bear the punishment for the sins of the world? And the Lord Jesus says, here am I, send me. And in our story, here's Isaac, and he says, I'll go. When God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, Abraham says, I'll go. Abraham had faith in God. And Isaac went, and he trusted his father, and he went to be that sacrifice that God had required. You know, you and I have sinned. I won't ask you to put up your hand, but if I asked you to put up your hand, is anybody here that felt they had never sinned? If you put up your hand, I'd have to tell you, you're lying. Because each one of us is born in sin. And God says sin cannot enter into heaven. The righteousness of God requires that there be judgment on sin. And God cannot have sin in His presence. And so He wanted to have you and I with Him in heaven. He said there has to be some punishment for that sin. And so He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world. And He went to Calvary's cross. And He bore the punishment for my sins. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, and He bore the punishment for your sins. Just like Isaac went to that altar, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And He suffered on Calvary's cross. You know, it says that God turned out the lights. It was complete and utter darkness. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And for 3 hours, He put on His Son the punishment for my sins. And when it was done, the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head. He died. You know, it talks about that soldier came along. And because it was the preparation for the Passover, they broke the legs of the two thieves that were crucified with Him. But when they came to the Lord Jesus, they found that He was already dead. He had already died. And so the soldier took that spear and he put it into the side of the Lord Jesus. And out flowed blood in the water. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we had Isaac on the altar. A little story, a little example to show us of what God was going to do when the Lord Jesus came into this world. But yet there came a point where God stopped Abraham. And he said, "That's enough. I know that you trust me. You know the judgment for my sins, the judgment for each of your sins was due to God. God could not have those sins in His presence. He couldn't have us in heaven as sinners. And so He had to send someone to take my place. Because if the Lord Jesus had not come into this world, I would have to pay the judgment for my sins. Each one of us would have to pay the judgment for our sins. So the Lord Jesus came into this world. And just like when God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac, and Abraham looks around and there's a ram caught in a thicket. A big goat caught by his horns in a bush. And Abraham says, "There's a substitute for my son. God is requiring a sacrifice. And there's a substitute." The Lord Jesus came into the world and was the substitute. The judgment that was due to me for my sins, the judgment that was due to each one of us, each one of us, boys and girls, older ones, the judgment that was due to each one of us, the Lord Jesus was the substitute. So Abraham takes that ram and he puts him on the altar and he kills him and he sacrifices him. The Lord Jesus was put on the cross and he was killed. He was the substitute for me and for you. And so the Lord Jesus now can say to each one of us, "Come." We heard in the gospel last night, the Lord Jesus speaking to each one of us, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I've borne the punishment for your sins. The judgment has been taken care of. Now, we just have to come and accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He shed His blood. He died on that cross for us." You know, when I was a kid, generally on Sunday afternoon, I'd get into some sort of trouble. And I'd know I was going to catch it when I got home. And I'd get that point from my mother, or a pinch from my father, and I knew that there was more coming when I got home. That settled me down pretty good, I think, sometimes anyway. Because I knew that I was going to get a punishment for something I'd done when I got home. And I'd spend the rest of the day wishing that there was a substitute. How can I get my brother to take the punishment for what I've done? I get home on Sunday night, and whatever it was I had done, I'd get a punishment for. It might have been a spank. Whatever it was, I'd get a punishment. And I remember one time we got home, and the meeting was in Uncle Donna at Betty Bellisoli's house, and it was a short walk around the block, and it was a winter night, and we'd walked the meeting. We got home, and Dad forgot his key. And so, he had to go back and get the spare key from Uncle Don Bellisoli. By the time he got home, it was past our bedtime, and we got put to bed, and I knew I had a punishment coming. I knew I had done something, and I knew that my parents intended to punish me for what I had done. But by the time I got home, by the time we got into the house, it was past bedtime, Mom, to bed. And we went to bed, and they forgot. They forgot about the punishment. Whew. Let's forget the key every Sunday. That doesn't work with our sins. God cannot forget about our sins. And there's a punishment due. But He says, "I've sent my Son into this world, and He's taken that punishment. He shed His blood. He died on the cross. And He says, accept the blood on the cross. Ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away. And that punishment, it's not that the punishment's forgotten about, because the Lord Jesus bore it. I don't think I ever managed to get my brother to take the punishment for what I had done. Though I sort of think that he may have gotten me to take punishment for what he did a few times. But the Lord Jesus bore the punishment for my sins. And he says to each one of us, accept the blood to wash your sins away. It's that simple. It's that easy. The Lord Jesus bore the punishment for my sins. The Lord Jesus bore the punishment for your sins. And now he says, come. We'll pray, and then perhaps we can sing another song. While we're praying, think about that. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're not promised that we'll have till the end of the Sunday school. We're not promised that we'll have till the end of the day. The Lord Jesus says, I'm coming back soon to accept all who are washed in the blood of Christ. I'm going to take them to heaven. And I'm coming back soon. And we're not told it's going to be now. It's going to be this minute. It's going to be in a half an hour. The Lord Jesus may come before we're finished praying. So if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, ask him into your heart right now. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and thank you for your love, for going to Calvary's cross and bearing the punishment for our sins, for being the substitute for that judgment that was due to each one of us. Lord Jesus, we pray that there's any boy or girl or older person here in this room this morning that has not yet accepted that work that you did for us on Calvary's cross. We pray that they may be convicted of their sins. They may come to know you as their Savior. We commit our time together to thee. Thank thee once again for that mighty work on Calvary's cross. Pray this in your precious and worthy name, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps we've got time for one or two more before our time is up. Anybody's got one they'd like to sing? 14. Norm, you want to start this?
Do Jesus for the cleansing power, are you washing the blood?
You know, that's the most important question that you will face in all your life. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, if you do, turn to the person next to you and tell them about it. Your mom or your dad, your friend beside you. The Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, when I was in school, I spent a lot of time, especially on Sunday nights after a gospel meeting, worried that I wasn't saved. I'd hear a solemn gospel message, and I'd go home and I'd lie in bed and I'd listen to the neighbor dogs bark and know that I had to walk to school the next day and afraid that those dogs were going to tear me from limb. They were only small dogs, but I was only a small boy once. And I asked the Lord Jesus to wash away my sins. And then I'd have peace until the next Sunday. I'd be lying in bed on Sunday night, I'd hear the gospel meeting, and I'd be worried, am I really saved? Are my sins really washed away? And I'd ask the Lord Jesus to save me again. And that went on until I realized the truth of that verse. And I went to my father one day and I said, Dad, I want to tell you that I'm saved. I want to tell you that I've asked the Lord Jesus to wash away my sins. I think that made him very happy. It certainly made me very happy. And I never, from that day to this, ever had another doubt or another question that I was saved. If you're saved, tell somebody about it. The Lord Jesus has asked us to do that. It'll give you peace, and it'll make that other person very happy too. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Isaac, for your help. And it appears that if you've sat up front, there's chocolates.